Welcome to the Think Computer's Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 129. I am Derek. As always, this episode is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and buy your stuff that way. You're probably buying everything off Amazon anyways. Why not include our link in it so that we get a little bit of kickback from that and we can do the podcast, right? With me today is Bob. What's up, Bob?
What's up, man? How are things? Are you underwater yet?
No. Much of the city, the area is, but
yeah, same here.
I'm on the high ground.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, if you guys live in the East Coast where there's rivers, I think I haven't checked it yet today, but if you guys follow baseball at all, Pittsburgh Pirates Stadium, I think the infield might be underwater now. I'm not sure. I haven't looked yet today, but it's supposed to be like the highest recorded water levels in like years here. So,
It still hasn't crested there yet?
I haven't looked.
Okay.
Just yet. I've been doing stuff all this morning, but I showed you guys that photo how high it is. It's like crazy because like I've been down there like during Pirates games and like you can walk along the river and it's like at least like 20 feet up over where it normally is, which is nuts. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a lot of water.
Yeah, so, but let's get into tech, you know?
Yeah, sure.
So we'll start with our reviews this week. And to start things off, we have the Drevo Joyous, which is a 96-key keyboard, which if you know me, I love these small little keyboards. And this one is wireless, it's mechanical, and it has the low-profile switches. Not the cherry ones, but the imitation cherry ones, if you want to call them that.
Yeah.
And it just, it's actually really comfortable. When I first started using it, I didn't think I would like it. But the low profile switches give you that, I don't know about you, but like typing on a laptop is actually really comfortable for me.
It's almost faster.
Yeah, it's faster. It feels good. This gives you that with the feedback of a mechanical switch. And the travel time is not, so the travel time of a laptop keyboard is very short, right?
Yeah.
This gives you a little travel time too, which I like. It's just really great for typing. I would say this is a total typing keyboard. It's more compact than a normal keyboard too, so you don't have, things aren't spaced out as much. So super small, so I would highly recommend this for typing. Gaming, just not so much. Because the keys are very close together like they would be on a laptop keyboard. But this thing is super small. It has a metal chassis. You could literally pick this up and take it with you anywhere. It is wireless Bluetooth, so you can connect it to your laptop or any Bluetooth device, which makes it even better, the keys, there we have the blue version, I believe. Their blue and red versions are available. So whatever, you know, key you like, they will have that version for you. It's white backlit, which is fine. I think that, again, this isn't really targeted as a gaming keyboard. You know what I mean? So the white backlighting is fine. It does have a bunch of different settings that you can kind of roll through, different effects with the lighting. But I think white backlighting is fine. It's bright enough and it looks really good. And all of the keycaps are white, so it looks really good on your desk too.
It just looks like it's supposed to be more of a professional piece. So
yeah, this is
RGBs
like
RGBs aren't really the professional thing.
Yeah, this is like on your desk at work type of deal. You know what I mean? The only real issues is one, there is no software, so you technically can't reprogram the keyboard, which is a little disappointing. I know reprogramming is mainly for gaming, right? But it'd just be nice to set, you know, one of the F keys to like launch a program or whatever, And then two is that there's no height adjustment. While the keyboard lays almost completely flat, which takes a little bit of time to get used to. I just wish
there's no flip little tab things or anything.
Yeah, there's no flip out feet or anything like that. So that's something you have to keep in mind. But for typing, that style is great. But for gaming, you want
a little angle.
You want some angle when you're gaming. At least for me, I want that angle. So that's the only thing. But this is a really cool keyboard. I love that Drevo comes out with these like kind of different style keyboards, you know what I mean? Because again, go ahead.
No, you're good.
Just because, you know, they do put, you know, metal design, you know, mechanical switches, wireless, which you don't see a lot of wireless mechanical keyboards either. So, you know, kind of put it all together. I do really like this keyboard. So,
yeah. Yeah, it comes in at $67.99. You've got in the review here, which is a pretty good price, I would say.
Yeah, their prices are always good. $67,
which is probably due to the in-house switch.
Yes, yes. That has a lot to do with the Switch. They're not a huge company. There's no RGB LEDs. There's no software. So the price kind of makes sense. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So from there, we go to Ryan's review of the Fantex Enthu Pro Tempered Glass version. And last week we talked about, I thought this was the special edition, which comes with the tempered glass and the Halo fan rings, but this is just this is just the tempered glass version. I was mistaken.
Okay.
You know, so many companies are updating their cases with tempered glass. That was like the big thing that started last year, and going into this year, we're seeing it as well. Honestly, it just makes sense. One, tempered glass just looks better. It looks so much better than acrylic, and on top of that, it's more scratch resistant than acrylic too. I've had so many cases over the years with acrylic side panels that, like, I barely touch it, and it just scratches. You know what I mean? Or like a cable hits the side panel and it scratches it, and you're like, wow, this looks stupid now.
Or you just take it off and you set it down or something, and it slides in the carpet and you scratch it.
Yeah,
yeah, you actually like end up almost sanding it rather easily.
Yeah, it's like same type of thing. So, you know, tempered glass is just great. The Enthu Pro is kind of like their, I would say, more entry-level case from Fantex.
But it's still a good size mid-tower.
Yeah, it's a bigger mid-tower, I would say.
Yeah, yep.
You still get the 3.5-inch drive base, which is interesting on this. Again, it is a little bit of an older case. For your building, I think this is like 110. Which I don't think is bad at all for the case, plus it's the tempered glass side panel.
You only get two fans, I think.
Yeah, you get a front, you get an intake and a rear exhaust.
Rear exhaust, yeah. And it's a nice case. It's definitely not the flashiest case in person, because I reviewed the older version of this. But it's a fair enough case. 110 is probably, I would say that's the max. With the tempered glass, that helps with the, helps justify the price somewhat, but there's not a lot to the case, and it's a steel chassis, so
yeah,
I'd say 110 is probably right at the top of its price range.
Yeah for sure. Definitely check out that review. I think that, again, anything is tempered glass I like. I think that, you know, to kind of stand out now, you have to do tempered glass. Like, you just have to. You know what I mean?
Yeah everything's got it, basically. Even your like true entry level cases have it. All your small form factor has it. Everything's just throwing a tempered glass panel on everything, basically.
yeah for sure. So definitely check out that. And our third review this week is some wireless charging products from Bezalel. So they actually sent us three different products. They sent us their Latitude wireless charging case, their Futura X wireless charging pad, and their Omnia wireless car charger. So all wireless products. Most all of our mobile devices are being charged wirelessly, which makes it easy. I hate cords. And I especially hate cords on the desk, because it just looks ugly. And you have to, you know, if you have to get up, you have to unplug. It's just annoying. So Bezalel makes a ton of different products for wireless charging. So we'll start with the Futura X, and that is their wireless charging pad. It's just a small little pad that you connect. It has a micro USB connector, so you can connect it to any USB power source, and you just place your phone on there and it charges it. My issue with this product is that it didn't work correctly with the iPhone X. And they told me that they're working on a fix for it, but there hasn't been one. And the thing that upsets me about that is that on their website, it shows it with the iPhone X, right? Like, as their marketing material.
Yeah.
And listen, on Amazon, it says it working with the iPhone X. When I put my iPhone X on there, it starts to charge it, and then it just stops. And yeah, that's just not
fairly unacceptable.
Yeah, it's unacceptable. I don't have any other I don't have an iPhone 8, which also has the wireless charging. I don't have any other wireless charging devices. Reading all the reviews on Amazon, it looks like it works with a ton of other products, you know what I mean? But for that, just doesn't. And you know, they have the Latitude wireless charging case, which is, I had my older iPhone 6S. This case is just a smaller case that goes on there, and it has a magnetic it's kind of like a magnetic case, and you place it on the Future X and it will charge your phone as well. Really cool, actually. So it gives you wireless charging if you have an older iPhone that doesn't have wireless charging, which is great.
You do have to deal with that tab sticking out of the bottom of it.
Yeah, you have the tab sticking out of the bottom, which isn't horrible once you get used to it. But so for me, I had the Future X at the office, and then when I came home, I would have to undo that tab and plug in my phone normally, you know, to the charger. The tab is very flimsy.
Is it?
Yeah, they could have designed it better. I think their newer ones for the 7 are designed much better. This older design, just, it's not that great. But what the Latitude does is that it does line up your phone correctly on the Future X as well as the Omnia wireless car charger, and it holds it on there pretty well, you know what I mean? And the charging works fine. This with the charging works great, you know what I mean? Yep. And the Omnia is just the same thing. It's a car charger. It has a really powerful magnet on it, so when you place your phone on there, like, you could whip around in your car and this thing's not going to fall off. And it puts your phone up so you can, you know, if you're using maps or whatever, you can, you know, kind of see where you're going. So all three products, all are relatively inexpensive as well. I really wish they have an update for the Future X, because I think it's a cool little product that just solves a simple problem. And it's very thin. It's very low profile. It looks, you know, they have it in white and black versions. But it just doesn't work with the iPhone X, which is kind of, you know, when I originally got these things to review, I had the 6S and then I upgraded to the iPhone X. And I was like, I already have a wireless charger. And I don't really, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Because it does not work correctly. So
it's odd to name it the Future X when it doesn't work with it either.
Yeah.
That really implies that that's what it's for, right?
Yeah. I think that name was there before the X came out. So yeah. I don't know if that was just the name they had for it or what. But yeah, that's kind of disappointing. So hopefully they come out with a fix. But as of now, they said, you know, they're working on one. But I think that the charging on the iPhone X is different. I don't know how it's different, but I didn't really research that. Mm-hmm. But it may, you know, there has to be something different with it. You know what I mean? Because they also said they were coming out with a Latitude case for it. And this was months ago, and the Latitude case still hasn't come out. So I think that they're dealing with issues with the Qi charging on the iPhone X.
It's probably, if I were to guess, it's probably something really stupid that Apple changed.
Yeah, I would think so. Because, you know,
it tends to be what they do.
You know, because Apple wants to sell you the $100 charging pad.
Yes, they do.
And this charging pad is $40, so big difference.
It's probably like it needs some sort of encryption to enable the charging or something.
Yeah,
like,
and that's what they something did. Something stupid like that. That's what Apple has done with their, you know, Apple certified charging devices and things like that. And you get a charger that's not Apple certified. It works for a while, and then Apple updates the phone, you know, the software on the phone, and then the charger says this is not supported, things like that.
That's terrible.
So I think that probably isn't some issue with it, but yeah, like, I think they're cool products, especially if you have an older iPhone. If you have anything, they make cases for 6, 7, and 8. So any of the, you know, older iPhones that don't have wireless charging, this gives it to you. And I had no problems with the Latitude case and the Future X working together, as well as the Omnia. You know, that whole setup works together great.
Cool.
So yeah. So definitely check out that review. And that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And that, of course, is where we cover a case mod or build that's been completed in the community. And this week, we have Peter Brands back, which I don't think we featured one of his builds in a while. I don't remember.
Not too distant past.
Yeah, not too distant past. But this build is part of Thermaltake's Modding Fighting Championship 2. And I believe all the contestants are using the Core P90. That's what he used for this, which we got to see at CES.
It's a whole bunch of versions.
Yeah. And this is kind of like their triangle design square case deal.
It's like a wedge.
Yes. And he's done a really good job. There's a lot of water cooling in this. He's, you know, the graphics card's off the motherboard to be displayed. I think it looks really good. It's totally his style. Like, if somebody showed me this build and said, who do you think built this? I would say probably Peter Brands. It just, like, looks like his style. Lots of cool water cooling. It shows off a lot of the Thermaltake water cooling products in it as well. Like, the temperature thingies in there. I don't know. What are those called that, like, are part of the...
built into the loop?
Yeah, their temperatures.
That's a flow meter and a temperature gauge?
Yeah, that's in there. I think all the fittings are Thermaltake as well, so you get to see a lot of that cool stuff in there. I think it's pretty cool. I think I like builds with a lot of plumbing, as you say. So we'll see a lot of these. We're going to feature a couple other ones. GGF LAN Party did one, which looks amazing. You know, for this, so definitely check this one out, and we'll have some upcoming ones. We don't want to do too many back to back from this champion. You know, this competition.
This honestly, this case is not on my like must have list.
Yeah, it's not.
It doesn't do it for me at all.
That's why, like, I'm surprised that they use. I mean, obviously, Thermaltake wants to show off their.
They want to sell this case.
Yeah, they want to show off this case, but I don't think it's very hard to. Like, creatively build something in it. One thing I do like is this, his bends on the corners are actually really good. Those bends from the tubing are actually
pretty good. The bottom two look like they're identical. The top one looks like he got the radius off a little bit.
Yeah.
It's still pretty close.
Yeah, very, very cool in there. So definitely check it out. And as I always say, we have our full list of case mods, or not full list, our full section of case mods that pretty much... gives you, you know, and ideas of what you want to do with, if you're wanting to do your own case mod, or if you just love case mods. We probably have, 400, 500
by now? Somewhere in there.
Yeah, we have a lot, so definitely check all of that out. And that brings us to news. And we have, the first story is, I didn't realize the market was as big as it is, but apparently it is. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it just it reminds you that this is not PC gaming or modding that we're talking about here. This is investing.
Yes, yes. So the Chinese mining company Bitmain, they make the Antminer ASIC miner, which is primarily the number one mining device for Bitcoin.
In general.
And if you know, we talked about. It, you know, we talked about Samsung getting into the mining game, and their client is actually Bitmain. And what's interesting is that a new report came out that this company, Bitmain, has had higher profits than Nvidia in 2017.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
Considering what it's. It's probably just a few years old.
Yeah, so exactly. Bitmain is 4 years old, and NVIDIA is 24 years old.
Yeah.
And Bitmain reportedly made between $3 and $4 billion in operating profit in 2017, and NVIDIA only made $3 billion. And again, Bitmain is making one product. They're making ASIC miners.
Yeah, and selling that. They probably worked, or NVIDIA probably worked a whole lot harder for that. $3 billion profit than Bitmain.
And the thing is too is NVIDIA, not only are they graphics cards, they're, you know, all of
it's everything.
Their
yeah.
embedded systems, their car systems, like all of the, you know, they make
shield.
Yeah, it's like the shield graphics stuff. Cards, I believe that they make a chipset for phones too, right?
They must.
Yeah. But in any case, Bitmain
it's just all of that
has made one product that obviously a lot of people have been, you know, put money into and all of that to make that amount of money.
That's actually surprising to me because just the fact, like, with how sold out all graphics cards are, like, that not only is that happening, but also somebody is selling a crap load of, you know, Bitcoin mining specific machines. Well, crypto mining
yeah.
specific machines, you know? Like, it's selling out everything, essentially.
Yeah. And this report said that Bitmain has 70 to 80% of the market right now. Wow. So you can see why NVIDIA is making a mining specific card. I mean, the market must be huge for this company to make this much money.
And that explains Samsung getting involved.
Well, TSMC was supplying the ASIC chips for Bitmain. Right. And I assume that TSMC didn't have the capacity, so they signed on with Samsung. That's how that deal went down. And TSMC said that Bitmain contributed 2 to 3% of the chipmaker's total revenue. Wow. That's a lot, because TSMC does graphics cards for NVIDIA, AMD does all the CPU chips as well. You know, like
I mean, they're stamping out stuff for just about everybody.
Yeah. So to for a small company that most people haven't even heard of to make 2 to 3% of the total revenue, that's insane.
It's a good size impact,
And you can see why Samsung signed on to do it. And again, you can see why NVIDIA is making their own mining card. Because the market must be huge. I mean, there's mining farms that I can't even imagine how big they are, you know.
I mean, it boils down to the fact that we're not talking about computing here, really.
Correct.
You're talking about investing. People that are into investing are going out and they're purchasing, or they're paying for people to set up farms to mine for them to make profits. It's cash. That's all we're talking about here. Which that market is significantly larger than what we're usually dealing with.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally. So yeah, that is really interesting. We will see. You know, if you guys want to invest in NVIDIA right now, it might be a good idea before this mining card comes out. Just saying.
Perhaps, yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, if they sell any of those, I mean, their profits are going to go up exponentially, especially if it can compete with, you know, these Bitmain ASIC miners. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It all depend on which I assume they wouldn't even release a product unless it was competitive.
Yeah, and I think NVIDIA has the capacity to produce a lot of them. You know what I mean?
Because, that's pretty crucial too.
Yeah, they already have the infrastructure to do so and the distribution to do so. So, we'll see. We shall see. But very, very interesting. And then another interesting thing that came out this week talking about GPUs is that Intel at the ISSCC, which is the International Solid State Circuits Conference, which was held in San Francisco, Intel revealed a white paper with their work on discrete GPU development, which was a big deal. You know what I mean? And we put out the article with all the slides and all this stuff, and a lot of people are thinking, okay, Intel's getting into the GPU game, which makes some sense because they hired Raja Koduri from AMD, who was head of Radeon Technologies Group. And then Intel actually, once we post this article, they reached out to us and they said that this is just a test vehicle. Like, it's just proof of concept. It's not a future product. I don't know if they're just saying that to cover their ass or what.
Well, there's certainly a lot of risk there, having hired Raja, that a lot of non-compete stuff involved in that, right?
Yeah.
So for them to actually produce a product in that market is probably asking for a lawsuit at this point in time.
Correct. So I'm not really sure. We have the updated statement from Intel that they sent us, so you guys can read it and check it out. It's cool. A lot of people are really excited when this came out because they're like, okay, like, this technology of what they were showing is going to be put into a discrete GPU that they'll be, you know, releasing. And again, Intel has the infrastructure and the money to do it, for sure. So, so we'll see how that, and this won't be for years, I don't think, you know, in any case. So,
yeah, I think they'll have to wait a little while to, I mean, you got to kind of let, the technology progressed to the point where what Raja would have known from AMD isn't really good anymore.
Yeah, I don't think that he could really use...
We can't use anything.
Yeah, any of that. I mean, if any of that's found, that's such a... I mean, that's like an antitrust...
Well, yeah, they'll just sue Intel for everything, any profits that Intel makes.
Yeah, so that, yeah.
There'd be no point in doing it, essentially. What they can do is that they can start building up what we're probably seeing now, which is the foundation for a future product.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So definitely check out the article. We have all the slides in there, so you can kind of see, you know, what they're doing on that front.
Fairly
so.
Technical.
Yeah, very, very technical. But definitely gets you kind of excited. I mean, a third player in the market.
Talk about integration. I mean, if Intel can integrate this in, you know, if they do this, integrating this onto an APU is going to be much better than integrating, you know, an NVIDIA or an Radeon part,
right? Yeah. Oh yeah.
So
we'll see how that kind of plays out. Probably won't be for a while, but it's interesting. So also Intel updated their NUCs, and they're kind of base models, but they're with new Gemini-like SoCs, which will, you know, they're quad-core Pentium Silver and dual-core Celeron in both of the new models. And the big updates with these, you get, you know, Gemini Lake, you're getting DDR4, which is a big deal. And you're finally getting rid of the VGA port on the back of the old ones. So you have two HDMI back there, and these are actually really powerful little systems if you've never used one, especially if you're just doing, like, you know, browsing, word processing, all that kind of stuff. These are powerful little machines, and they're tiny. I mean, you saw some of the ones that we got to see at CES, you know. So yeah, so those are just, like, you know, simple updates. These NUCs haven't been updated since Q4 of 2016. Definitely due for an update, and they'll be available in a ton of different versions. Like, you can get one that's just totally built already for you with the memory and everything in it. You can get a base version that has, you have to install your own memory and SSD, and these support M.2 SSDs as well. So could be a cool little system there.
Yeah,
for sure. This interesting photo came out this week.
Yeah.
Where I don't know if somebody shot this or what happened, but a Threadripper system, or a picture of a Threadripper system that looks like it was shot with a gun.
I wonder if somebody, I hadn't thought much about this, I wonder if somebody, some barely 18-year-old was playing a game, and they got mad at the game, and they had a loaded gun. And they
just don't say that. With everything that's going on right now.
Shot the computer.
I wouldn't say that, but what's interesting is that the bullet was stopped by the heat spreader on the Threadripper chip, as you can see in the photo, which is very, very interesting.
Yeah. Well, they shot through the AIO as well.
Yeah, they shot through the block on the AIO. But yeah, we don't see things like this anymore. Because there was, like, times where people would just, like, destroy PC things that, like, just because.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this, yeah, so definitely check out the photo. Really interesting. It was posted on Reddit. And, yeah.
It's definitely a full build, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Like,
it's still mounted in the case and everything.
Yeah, so. Yeah, mounted in the case and all that kind of stuff. So, definitely check that out.
Maybe it just died, so they just decided to shoot it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Who knows? We don't know.
I mean, like, the whole thing is quite beat up, so
yeah,
they didn't just shoot the CPU to see what would happen.
No, I think it got a lot of.
They were destroying this. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So definitely, check out that photo. Kind of funny. It's good news for AMD. It's a little press. Like, our hardware will stop a bullet.
Yeah,
yeah. So one actually important thing when it comes to CPUs is that Intel released their updated firmware for 6th, 7th, and 8th generation Intel Core processors. As you know, Meltdown and Spectre were a huge, huge thing, and a huge exploit pretty much found in every Intel processor that came out in the past 10 years, something like that.
Never.
Yeah, basically. And there was initial updates that was really rushed out and done poorly, and it caused a lot of slowdowns in systems and all that kind of stuff, and instability. So they rolled that back, and now this is the one that is good and has been tested. And basically, if you're a desktop user, there will be a BIOS update from your motherboard manufacturer. You update the latest BIOS, it will update the microcode, and you're good to go. But I would highly suggest anybody doing this, because these exploits are out there and documented, and somebody can just be running a script that just is going through IP addresses and seeing what's vulnerable, so download the latest BIOS from your motherboard and just update it, and this protects you against both the Meltdown and Spectre vulnerabilities. So I would go ahead and do that.
I would wait.
You'd wait? You would see if there's any...
I'd wait and see how badly this slows the system down. Because all the updates until now have been pretty terrible.
Yes. So
let some testing and market use get put in before you do anything. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to run right out and update my BIOS. I don't need to be the guinea pig.
True. You're not about updating anyways. You don't do updates for a while.
What are you talking about? Update things that should be updated. I don't switch to terrible new Windows programs.
Oh, man. I forget how long it took Derek to update the Windows 10. It took him a while.
It took until they were going... right up until you couldn't do it for free anymore.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Why? Windows 7 is a perfect program. Why would you update from it?
It did feel... By that time, it did feel kind of dated, but... Yeah, it worked fine. It did everything you needed to do without an issue. So
yeah.
So yeah. So anyways, moving on to cases. Corsair, their 500Ds, which we saw at CES, are now available. You have your two different versions, and I like this case a lot. This is like a builder's case. Just looks good. It's the obsidian look, which I like. And we got to see these at CES. The side panel design's awesome. The top... Is it like the top pullout thing? It is awesome. There's room for tons of hardware inside. Solid case, not super expensive either. You know what I mean?
Definitely the tempered glass front panel version is better.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes, for sure. But some people don't like that, And so definitely check that out, because these are builder's cases, which I like to see from Corsair. And, we haven't seen a really, big case release from Corsair in a while, so it's good to see this.
No. I'd like to see a new large form factor case release from them, too. This is a great look. I'd just like to see a larger version.
Yeah, but for sure.
Everybody has moved away from that, so you can't
complain too much. Yeah, a lot of people have, just because they're not selling, and there's no need anymore with how powerful components have become.
Small size it, because a lot of that was a lot of people needing hard drive space or optical disk space, so not needing that anymore. The mainstream isn't like looking for water cooling space. That's essentially what we were doing back in the day. We were repurposing drive space for radiators.
People who were doing four graphics cards, you needed something that supported extended ATX and all that. You wanted that.
And graphics card length was a problem too.
Yeah, we don't have that issue anymore. More of an issue. Yeah. Because we don't have those hard drive cages in the front or anything like that. So
yeah.
So yeah, I like this case. If you're looking to build a new system, this would be one that you should consider. So
yeah. Definitely. I really like the back panel is pretty smart with the way that the drives are laid out. And then the cover for the sleeping is nice too.
Yeah.
But getting your build to look like as clean as theirs is going to be quite the trick. Yeah, because they don't even have the cables hooked up to any of those drives.
Yeah, they're just, yeah.
with those tempered glass back panel, that's the one thing that has me scratching my head. I don't want that.
Yeah.
It just makes you have to work extra hard.
Yeah. I don't.
It's cool. I mean, it was what else do you do, right?
Yeah.
Where's the next step in evolution? But it definitely makes your job as a builder a lot more difficult.
Yeah, for sure. So, but yeah, check those out. They're available now, so you can pick them up. And we have our video in the article from CES if you want to check out what they look like with systems installed and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, they're cool, especially with Corsair's new fans.
So. Yes, for sure. So now we'll move on to gaming, and there's actually a lot of gaming news this week, which is surprising. So a new Steam game has come out, and they're offering a 1 Bitcoin prize to the first person that beats the game.
That's pretty cool.
I don't know what the price of Bitcoin is right now. I'll tell you in a second.
Probably less than the 10 grand you wrote in the article.
Yeah, it's down to $9,355.
Yeah. The real thing about it is that you hold on to that Bitcoin, and someday your Bitcoin is worth $200,000.
Possibly, yes.
Probably not, but you never, maybe 20.
Yeah, but still, the game's called Monte Crypto, the Bitcoin Enigma, and it's a puzzle game. And it's like a maze-type puzzle game, first-person perspective. You have to solve 24 puzzles to finish the game. It's from a company called Gemrose Accent, and they say the game will be one of the hardest games you'll ever play, obviously, if they're offering this prize. Yeah. It's $1.99 on Steam. They're having it on sale right now for $1.19, so you can, I mean, it's not a...
$1.19, man.
Yeah, it's not very expensive to try it out. I'm sure you'll be frustrated if it's... I can't imagine it's super easy. But they are
no.
They are allowing you to team up with other people, and if you can't beat it yourself, you can do it like as a team, and okay, then the team will get the prize.
Oh, you're still eligible for the prize?
Yes.
Okay, so they made a stupidly hard game.
Yes.
The real question is the only question is how difficult is the game actually? Hopefully they didn't make a mistake, and they think that it's hard, and then like it's easy for like some genius or that there's like a whole level of gamer, you know, that they play these games, they play puzzlers and riddle type games. So hopefully it is difficult for them.
You know what this reminds Otherwise, you know what this reminds me of?
What's that?
Ready Player One. You have to solve the, you know, find the Easter egg,
yeah,
type deal,
yeah,
with, and you get a prize at the end.
Yeah.
Same type of thing. But I think,
yeah, and it could one, be. I just said the vibe from the screenshot does not.
Well, yeah, 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 obviously. But I think
but
that,
yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
this is a great marketing tactic to get people to buy the game.
It's fantastic.
If they they sell it for a dollar, just we'll round down to a dollar. That means only 8,000 people have to buy it, or 9,000 people have to buy it, and you have your prize right there, right?
Oh yeah, paid for.
Yeah, so
not to mention it's probably already paid for in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So,
Steam has a doesn't Steam say how many downloads per game? Or how many
purchases? I don't know if they have that listed. I'm not sure.
There's definitely Steam stats somewhere.
Yeah, I know they have active player stats and all that kind of stuff, but I'm not sure. So, but that's cool. I think it's cool. I think it like it's just something different, you know. It just gives people a reason to play the game, and I think that it's cool to have a different type of game come out that is getting some press, right?
Yeah, yeah.
With,
I mean, plus, like, I just bought it, so
you did.
Now I'm gonna install it.
Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, Derek, so Derek will be the winner.
Yeah, no, yeah. I won't. Yeah. But like it's working, right?
But I think that too, if people are like, oh, it's gonna be hard, I'm like a pro, like I'll beat it. Like, you know, there's so many people that are like, oh, it can't be that hard, or whatever, you know.
Yeah, and I'm sure they're gonna find themselves very disappointed.
Yes, yes. So, moving over to a game that's immensely popular and that we've been talking about a lot is PUBG Player Unknown Battlegrounds, and we talked about the cheating. Did we talk about it last week or the week before? But the cheating has been a big deal. It's just been out of control. And it seems like the actual development of the game, adding new features and new maps, has been halted until they get the cheating thing under control. A lot of the resources are going towards anti-cheat methods and things like that. They posted a recent post on their Steam page. And it said, earlier this year, development of some of the major features and systems was delayed as our focus shifted toward tightening our anti-cheat efforts. Due to these reasons, we have not been able to show you the team's development roadmap for 2018. So that's a big deal. Like, again, I think cheating ruins a game, and if it's rampant, people are gonna go to something else.
You definitely have to stand on top of cheating, anti-cheating, for sure, especially a game like this, because cheating just ruins it completely.
Yeah.
Other some games you can get through. You can get through the cheating, you know, but this is like, I don't know.
I think it's out of control. They said if the current rate, the BattleEye, the company that handles most of their anti-cheat work, they said that the rate of cheating continues. The number could be 4 million by the end of this month.
4 million cheaters?
4 million. Oh,
no, the banning.
4 million.
Banning rate.
Yeah. And they said that's more than 13% of the game's current player base.
Which they ban them, delete them, and then they just create new accounts, get back on.
Yeah. So it's...
I also wonder, though, too, because this is a game and a group that the expansion and the size of it has grown exponentially, and I wonder if they're having trouble actually keeping up with all of that. Because I've heard stories of them kind of going a little bit crazy with all the money they have.
Yeah.
As far as, like, some partying and stuff goes, and major purchases and stuff for offices.
Yeah, I mean, that happens. I mean, when it you... Does. Yeah. You, I mean, the whole thing it was just like a game that, you know, wasn't.
This is almost indie.
Yeah, and then
right?
this is not
like a major corporate thing.
And it became so popular, and then like, you know, you do something like as fun and like, you know, with a small group, and you don't expect it to be a business. You just did it for fun, or maybe like a small business, right?
Yeah,
and then
it just blows up,
and you're like, you know.
Started at the bottom, now we're here.
Yeah.
So let's spend all this money we got.
Yeah, and let's live it up.
But it's the part in the line that they said that also due to other reasons they have no roadmap, and that says to me that what do you mean you have no roadmap?
True.
Like management, like yes, you've got this going on, but management, you should still be building your roadmap separate from. These are the things that are going on within the company. So it's a little worrying. I mean, I'm not really worried because I don't play the game anymore, but
maybe the lifespan of this game isn't the game anymore.
This game sucks. It's so unsatisfying.
Derek, I'm not even bad at it. So mad some days when he was playing
this
game.
No, it's just, this is the, like, this game inspires rage quit. Like,
of course. That's what makes it so addicting.
You could play for so long in a match, and then like all of a sudden you're just dead, or you spawn and die, and it's so much time in between matches. I mean, we've talked about this.
Yeah,
before, so
yeah.
We could,
but
yeah.
Well, on that note, there's a new game coming out that's basically like PUBG,
something else to rage
which
quit.
Looks good from the little trailer that they released. It's called it's called Mavericks Proving Grounds, and the big thing with this one, it's battle royale style, will support up to 400 players. So not only will you know PUBG is 100, you'll get 400 now, which will make the matches even longer and even more drawn out.
Spawn die.
Yeah. It's a multiplayer shooter, same thing. Large dynamic worlds, dynamic weather, and reactive wildlife is the big thing with this one.
Yeah, we've heard that before.
Yeah. We have a link to their website. You can check it out. 400 people.
Do we know anything? I mean, that trailer is pretty worthless, honestly.
Yeah.
It's 40 seconds of like a small pan and a shadow of a character running through the background.
Yeah. They're announcing stuff at GDC, which is in...
Okay.
March or April, I forget when GDC is. So they'll have something announced then. I remember like Battlefield, we went from like 32, and then was like Battlefield 3 was like 64.
That was like crazy.
Yeah, so like this is kind of a big deal. I mean, going four times what is available in PUBG.
On a map that sounds like it's the same size. Roughly,
it might be
close
bigger.
Square kilometer.
Yeah, not specifically
it
sure.
Seems to me like it's similar to the size of PUBG.
Yeah. So,
which the thing is, you can't make the map too much bigger because otherwise, what's the point in having 400 players? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
If it gets bigger, it feels exactly the same. So who cares?
Yeah. But, so I would. Yeah. I think it'd be worth checking out. I think I would play it like around just to see what 400 players is like.
Yeah, if it's free.
Yeah, we'll see.
It's free.
What the deal is
going
with that.
The real question. Well, I mean, that's not really a question. It's a battle royale. That's what they're jumping on right now. So
yes,
This could be absolutely terrible, but it says Battle Royale in the description, so it's going to get press.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, like, I think, again, 400 players on a single server is a big deal.
Yeah.
For that type of game. Yeah.
Yeah, if it can maintain it.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how that all works out whenever it comes out. So one really awesome thing was announced this week, which I'm a huge fan of the Warcraft series on PC. That's, like, one of the first PC games I played. I played all three. Warcraft 3 is over 10 years old now. But it just got an update. Blizzard just updated the game.
Well, aren't the earlier versions of Warcraft actually the most played still?
I think Warcraft 3 is one of the still very well, like, it's played a lot. I don't know about the earlier versions, because Warcraft 3, that's what, like, because it was initially, like, an RTS, right? And it was just, like, an RTS, like, with just normal guys, like, you would build your guys, whatever. And then Warcraft 3 brought in the heroes in the game. Much like any game that you pick a hero, right? So you would have a hero on your team as well as building, you know, your base and all that kind of stuff. So it received an update, and it added widescreen support, which is a pretty big deal. unless you're our friend Jack, and I think his is widescreen. Is his widescreen?
No, it's not.
Yeah, unless you're our friend Jack, you have a widescreen monitor.
Hold on, let me double check the picture I took of it.
Yeah. it also load balanced the heroes and did everything like that. And it updated the map size as well in the editor. And the number of objects on the map has been increased as well. Those are the big updates. And the reason for that is that Blizzard is hosting the first ever Warcraft 3 Invitational Tournament on Twitch.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, and they increased the player size as well. So you can do 24 players in a single game.
Sounds like they did a little bit of a code update to it then.
Yeah, so it's just an update to make it compatible with one screens, and they balance the heroes so you can play competitively. So if you're picking, if you pick one hero that's going to kill everybody, that's not very fun. So I think that's really cool. I think that nostalgia is huge, you know what I mean? And, I think it's great that they're doing a tournament that kind of just, I don't think it's going to be competitive, esport, but I think that there's enough people that enjoyed the game that they'll watch the tournament, and I think it's just cool. I think that, and it makes it like I own the game, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm going to, like,
so you can play.
I can download it and play it again, and we'll play on my PC, on my widescreen monitor, you know what I mean? Just for fun, like, I would just go back in and play it.
Nice.
So cool. It's very cool. So we have the link to the tournament. The tournament's going to be next week, February 27th to 28th on Twitch. So definitely something if you want to watch some competitive Warcraft 3, which I haven't said that in a long time. So definitely check that out. Very cool.
Nice.
And then also there is a sale going on. So EA is having a publisher sale with a lot of stuff going on. It's not only on Origin, but on Amazon as well. And all of their games, like Star Wars Battlefront 2 is on sale, 60% off, which I actually bought it. It's $23.99 for Battlefront 2. If you haven't got Battlefield 1, that's on sale. FIFA 18, which is huge for a lot of people, that's 67% off. It's only $20. Titanfall 2 is $5.
That's the one.
Yeah, 75% off right there. And then they have a bunch of like their bundles on sale as well. Battlefield 1 and Titanfall 2.
Crysis Trilogy for $8.49. If you haven't done the Crysis.
Or even Mass Effect. The Mass Effect Trilogy is on sale for $6.74, 75% off. Crysis Trilogy is $8.49, 75% off. Mirror's Edge Catalyst is 50% off. So I picked up Battlefront 2 finally because it was on sale.
I think I'll probably get that as well.
Yeah, just to play through it. I'm trying to get some gaming in. I also bought I bought Overwatch last week. I was playing some of that this weekend, so that was some fun to kind of get into that game a little bit too. And we set up our Twitch channel as well, which we'll have linked for you guys.
Oh, cool.
So get in some Twitch streaming. So yeah. that is our news for this week. Good to see some gaming news in there, you know. A lot of stuff going on in the PC gaming world. So yeah. And that brings us to what we have coming up next week. So we have three reviews. The first one is the ADATA Gamex S10. That is their M.2 kind of gaming drive, part of the XPG line. And the XPG line is their high-end line, and this has their 5-year warranty, which you don't see in a lot of SSDs anymore. So 5-year warranty, 3D NAND, pretty fast speeds, but it's not the next generation yet. So you're looking at 1800 read and 850 write, which again is still pretty fast. Pretty fast speeds there for an M.2 drive. It has a cool little heat spreader, metal heat spreader that has the XPG, which looks awesome in your system as well. So pretty pumped to show you guys that. And then we have some more RGB fans. You were talking about the Corsair RGB fans. I have the HD120s, the 3-pack that comes with 3 of the 120mm RGB fans with a controller. And these fans have 12 individual LEDs in the frame. And the LEDs are individually controlled, so you can do some really cool stuff. Basically, they have like an LED strip in there.
With individual adjustable LEDs.
Yeah, so really cool stuff with that. And the kit that I have gives you everything you need to get everything connected and good to go there. And then I have a really cool product. It's the Divoom Timebox Mini. And it's a little Bluetooth speaker, but the front has like an LED panel on it that you can sort of like block LEDs that you can kind of do some like 8-bit cool things with. You can put the time on there. You can like put a logo. You can make your own logo and put it on there. You can have it like flash an update if you get a text, if you get a Facebook notification, if you get an email. So it's a cool little thing for the office, basically. I'm huge into like little office toys and things like that. So this is just a cool little thing for the office, and a little Bluetooth speaker as well. So you get kind of two things in one, and it works really good. The app is really cool, you know, and allows you to kind of go in there and do all that kind of stuff. So very cool. So yeah, it's really expensive too. I think it's like $40 or $50. So yeah, it's way less than it's $23.99. So it's very inexpensive. So cool little Bluetooth speaker. So we'll have that for you guys as well. Coming to the end of the week here, we talk about if you did any cool stuff, saw any movies.
Working on some review stuff, quite a few products.
Yes.
This week, I don't think I watched any movies or saw any. I started watching the new Planet Earth 2 series, which is really good in 4K.
Nice.
Streaming on Netflix, so if you got Netflix, you can see that. I don't think I got anything else though.
Yeah, I played some games, which is surprising for me. Nice. Played some Overwatch, which actually is a lot of fun. I played it with Ryan.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I wasn't very good, but I'm getting there.
It's not a surprise.
but yeah, so we'll be doing some streaming on that. I watched this new series on Netflix. I can't think of what it's called. It's about food though. I forget what it's called. If I find it, I'll put it in their show notes. But it's really cool. And besides that, yeah, I haven't done a whole lot. I've been, like I said, just reviews and getting stuff ready up, you know, for this upcoming week. And that's about it. So as always, guys, we will have our full show notes page that shows you, you know, everything. It has links to everything that we talked about. So as we go through talking about each different thing, you can click through and get even more details and get, you know, everything that you need to know. And if you're looking for us on your favorite podcasting software, iTunes, whatever, it's just Think Computers, all one word. So until next week, catch you guys later.